This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome into MLF Six Pack here on the SDH Network. I'm Madison Cruz. Joining with me is one of the voices of Atlanta United in Jason Longshore. We're here to get you ready for week 4 of the MLS season. It's been chaos, craziness, I think, for these first 4 weeks, which, I mean, it's MLS. You know, it makes sense. So really excited you all are here to listen. You also can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well on Off the Woodwork, a new place to bring in some more viewers to come listen to more content here on the SDH Network. We welcome you. Come join us and all the chaos that we do here on the SDH Network. But getting ready before we get into this week, Jason, what were some of the things that stuck out to you looking back at week 3?
Yeah, as we kind of go back really quick to look at last week, I mean, Seattle's demolition job on LAFC stands out. 5-2, Paul Rothrock with a great performance in that one. Jordan Morris setting the all-time scoring record for the Sounders. That's a big, big moment in their club's history. Philadelphia continuing to truck on, a 2-0 win at New England, and maybe the alarm bells are sounding a little bit louder about Caleb Porter and the New England Revolution. New York City with a home win over Orlando. Has it been the best start for Orlando? That kind of is a little surprising. Colorado going to Austin, getting a win on the road. Chicago's big comeback on the road at Dallas. That's a huge win for Greg Berhalter as he's building everything for the Fire. San Diego, another win on the road, 3-1 at RSL. Vancouver doing what they've been doing. We'll talk more about the Whitecaps here in a minute. And Minnesota going to San Jose. Look, the Quakes have been a huge surprise. Minnesota is a team that I don't quite have a good feel for yet, but that's a big signature win for them early in 2025. Miami overcoming a first-half red card. They get the win over Charlotte. And LA Galaxy looking very bad against St. Louis City. Very bad. And St. Louis, I mean, it's 3-0. It could have been worse. The Galaxy ended up righting the ship a little bit in the midweek in CONCACAF. We'll get there in a second, but St. Louis going to the LA Galaxy, it's a statement on both sides for me, because the Galaxy have not been anything like we thought they might be this season. And St. Louis, with a new manager in Olaf Melberg, they've been maybe a little more coherent than we thought they might be in 2025, as you see that tweaks to the play style and those sorts of things. So some interesting storylines starting to develop in MLS as we get into the first month of play around the league.
Well, you talked a little bit about, you know, the absolute more chaos that was the CONCACAF Champions Cup this week. Those matches started, we're in the leg 2 for all of those. Let's go ahead and go through some of the results that we saw throughout the week. Number one, Seattle Sounders were knocked out of the Champions Cup. Cruz Azul beat them 4-1 in leg two, is an aggregate of 4-1 because the first leg was a nil-nil draw.
Yeah, it's a little harsh in terms of how that looks for Seattle. It was 2-1, and they were one goal away from going through in the 75th minute. It's two late goals for Cruz Azul that put things away. It's tough to go to Mexico, and you have to make the most of your home games wherever they fall in these series. Seattle had it at first at home. They did not get any goals on the board. They drew scoreless. It's always going to be a tough road for them. They kept it close. They were close. Last 15 minutes, you're within a goal of going through, but ultimately it gets away from you. And that was the story for another game that night too.
Yep, absolutely. If we take a look now, I'm moving on to the next MLS team, which is Columbus versus LAFC. That was a 2-1 victory for Columbus, but it was not enough because of aggregate. And so LAFC moves on to the next round.
Yeah, another one where Columbus scored twice in the first half, and they were down 3-0 after the first leg. And it really felt like they could find a way through. Hugo Lloris was outstanding in the second 45, and it's the next to last touch of the ball in the game where Denny Bouanga scores to make it 2-1 on the night and 4-2 on aggregate. Columbus had every opportunity, centimeters, millimeters away from a ball going over the line that never saw a conclusive video to show that it did. I think it's a good no call in that situation, Lloris keeping it out. And Columbus couldn't quite overturn it. You know, that third goal, you think about how you put games away, and do you sit back and defend and try to put it away, or do you go find a third goal, which is generally going to seal a 90-minute match? A lot of times it's going to seal a game or a setup like this where you're playing over two legs. It did in this case.
Moving on to the next match. Unfortunately, another MLS club was knocked out. Tigres will be moving on as they beat FC Cincinnati 3-1, but also with an aggregate score of 4-2.
Yeah, Cincinnati drew in the first leg, and they got the opener here on the road. Evander in the first half, but 8-minute span in the second half where you give up three goals, that can't happen. And this is the second year in a row where a second half collapse has doomed FC Cincinnati in Mexico. It's something they're going to have to overcome. It's something MLS clubs as a whole have to overcome. We can write all the narratives and tell all the stories and pull out all the old stories and hit the bullet points. It's down to mentality. You get a home leg for 90 minutes and you have to go on the road for 90 minutes. You have to be better in your home leg and you have to be better in your away leg. And right now in those two situations with Seattle and Cincinnati, you weren't good enough in the home leg to really give yourself an opportunity. You had to be at your absolute best on the road, which we know is difficult anywhere in the world. They needed to do better in the home leg to make the second leg more comfortable. Both of them had opportunities in the second leg, but couldn't get it done.
Now let's go to, I think, my match of the night as we take a look at the glory that was the Vancouver Whitecaps able to come away. They win on away goals to move on to the next round, but it was a 2-2 draw in that match last night. But again, Vancouver steals the deal with the away goals.
What a performance from the Whitecaps. This team has been so good in 2025. They fall behind in this one, and they go score twice on the night. Brian White's goal was essential because Monterrey got every opportunity to find a way to get through late in the game. I think the handball is dubious. Sergio Ramos puts that away. The amount of extra stoppage time on top of that was even more dubious, but Monterrey could not find a way. Vancouver, without Ryan Gold, without Jaden Nelson, and with Brian White coming off the bench, go not to Monterrey. They did go to Santos Laguna Stadium, about 4 hours away, but they took care of their business, and that's a credit to the league, and it's a huge credit to what Vancouver has built so far in 2025.
I'm glad you mentioned that penalty, because I didn't think it was a penalty either. It was He was in the motion. Like, what do you need him to do?
I think it's a natural motion with his arm. I don't think there's any intent to make himself bigger. He's not making an unnatural movement. Like, all the things we talk about, I feel like it was very, very harsh.
I remember texting and I was like, this is so harsh. There's no way they're giving it. And then they gave it. And I was like, okay, you know what?
Welcome to CONCACAF.
Welcome to CONCACAF, ladies and gentlemen. Now the last match of the night for MLS, LA Galaxy got a 4-1 victory over Arenado, and they will move on for an aggregate score of 4-2.
Yeah, they were down 1-0 in the first leg from Costa Rica. Atlanta United went through this in 2019, where they lost on the road to Herediano. And then the Costa Rican team on the road, it's a struggle. They've been in great form as of late, finally losing their first game in a long time over the weekend. This is their second loss in a row. But you just ran into the Galaxy finally getting things going. Two goals in the first half from Aude and Miguel Berry. Gabriel Peck kind of put it out of reach with the third. You get a fourth one from Christian Ramirez. Arenado got one late to make it 4-1. But 4-2 on aggregate. And the Galaxy, look, after a really bad weekend, maybe this is a little bit of the wake-up call that Greg Vanney's team needs.
So LA Galaxy will face Tigres on April 1st. Those times are TBD as of right now. It's Club America versus Cruz Azul on April 1st as well. Mm-hmm. Vancouver and LAFC are awaiting their opponents, and that leads us into the match tonight as Inter Miami goes on the road to Jamaica at Independence Park to face Cavalier.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. I believe it's actually at the National Stadium in Kingston. Oh. Yeah, it's one of those situations where, like, games like this, Cavalier has a very small stadium. You have the opportunity to make it a bigger deal, draw 35,000 plus. I have no idea what the attendance is going to look like. I've seen so many different things about tickets being sold out or reserve seating being sold out. Bleacher seating was available early this week. They brought in like three additional game day sponsors to help cover all the expenses that, you know, you're talking about the Jamaican Premier League. And Cavalier FC typically drawing 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people a game and having, you know, your game day staffing for that. And now you're going to have 35,000 plus in a bigger venue. You got to have more security. You know, representatives are talking about this is like a visit from heads of state, not just another team coming into play. So it's a big deal for Cavalier. They got a draw in Jamaican Premier League play over the weekend. Everything for them is on this game. And what I'm really curious to see is beyond the Miami lineup, which I know everybody will be looking to see if number 10's in it. I get it. I don't think that's the story. I think how does Cavalier handle the moment early on? If they get an early goal, this will be an absolute wild experience to watch. If Miami gets an early goal, it's probably curtains. I don't see Cavalier scoring a lot. But if they get that first one, things could get wild, and that stadium, that pitch, it's not the greatest pitch in the past. It's usually been described as like rock hard, so it's not an easy place to play for Miami. You're going to get some kind of funky bounces of the ball, all those sorts of things. Welcome to CONCACAF. You could get some funky whistles and things like that being decided. So the early portions of the game, if Cavalier can get something out of it, it will be absolutely fascinating. If Miami scores first, I think it's done.
Yeah, that's the tricky part going in with a 2-0 aggregate. It's one of those where it's like you have the lead, you're kind of safe, but one goal can just change everything.
And it changes the momentum, which is so hard. Yeah. When momentum changes, it almost like doubles in intensity. And I think that's something to keep in mind in these situations where Miami feels really good about where they are with a 2-goal lead. But one goal, and it's why the 2-goal lead is the whole cliche about it. It's because when you concede one, then the team that had that lead and felt comfortable all of a sudden feels very uncomfortable. That momentum swing is a tangible thing, and it's something that Miami's going to try to avoid here. The longer they keep it scoreless, they'll be fine. The first goal, they pretty much seal it, but if they concede, you know, this is a group that understands pressure and has dealt with pressure. And you got guys who have done this, all the time in their careers. They're not going to freak out. But you get 35, maybe 40,000 people screaming and going crazy. And it's the biggest game in the lives of some of these players for Cavalier FC. That's not easy for anybody to deal with. So they don't want to open that door. If Cavalier opens it, then we've got a really interesting fight on our hands. If Miami keeps it scoreless and kind of manages that momentum well, they'll be fine.
That is at 8 p.m. tonight. You can watch that on Fox. It is the round of 16, Cavalier versus Inter Miami.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, as we move past that game, as we get ready for Saturday, March 15th, a whole new week of MLS is dropping. We'll go ahead and start at 2:30 p.m., and that is the New York Red Bulls versus Orlando.
Yeah, Red Bulls, we got a chance to see them firsthand here in Atlanta. This is a very, very good team, and Orlando has not been very good this season. I think Red Bulls handle their business and take care of this, and then we start to have maybe not conversations, but there might be whispers about Orlando and 2025 and what their future could be.
Another game at 2:30 p.m. It is Toronto hosting Chicago.
I have zero faith in Toronto at this stage. Chicago, look, we're still learning, but you get a win on the road in Dallas and a come from behind win in the rain like they did last week. All right, show me. Show me again. Fighting Berhalters. Let's see if Chicago is a team to really keep in mind. And look, Orlando, Chicago kind of had them in two different places in terms of those tiers that we think about in the Eastern Conference. If Chicago wins and Orlando doesn't, do they flip tiers? Maybe. It's early for this, but maybe.
Toronto versus the Fighting Berhalters. That's something I don't think I ever heard.
Berhalters.
Okay. You know what? I like it. All right, moving on. We move over to the West. We have a 3:45 start. That is LAFC hosting Austin.
Yeah, LAFC, they handled things in CONCACAF, not in the most convincing way. But look, this has been LAFC under Steve Cherundolo more and more the longer he's been there. It's not always convincing, but they found ways to win. Austin needs to show something here after a home loss to Colorado last week. Is this team as good as the amount of money they spent in the offseason? I don't know yet. I really don't know yet. And if they don't show more here, the result obviously is what you want, but I think there has to be a level of performance here from Austin as well. A win will satisfy, but can they go past that? Can they look good? LAFC, they don't care about looking good anymore. Forget that. The days of the swashbuckling black and gold, gone. It's about winning games, no matter what it looks like. I think the uglier sometimes, the happier they are about it. Austin's got to show that they can handle these moments because there's bigger expectations on them with the amount of money they spent in the offseason.
Yep, absolutely. As we go ahead and we move into the 7:30 p.m. hour, couple games. We have four games in that block. Excuse me. We have three games in that block. A little bit different this time. Normally it's four. Charlotte FC hosting FC Cincinnati.
I like Charlotte in this one. I think Cincinnati is going to have a little bit of that CONCACAF hangover. You know, you give up three goals in the second half and at halftime you go into the locker room and you're not looking ahead, but you're thinking, we're in a really good position here. We're going to get through. And then you don't, and it's ripped away from you. How do you bounce back? We'll get a good idea of the mental strength of this FC Cincinnati team. Charlotte maybe will have a little bit of hangover feel themselves after having a man advantage for the majority of the game in Fort Lauderdale last weekend and not getting a shot on goal with it. I think it's a little bit easier to wash that away being Miami and kind of knowing what you're dealing with when you face them. You're back at home as well. That should help you recover from any hangover you might have from last week. I think Charlotte gets the win in this one.
Moving on to the second game, it is DC United hosting CF Montreal.
Man, Montreal's journey continues on the road. First six on the road for Laurent Courtois and his group. This is a tough one because DC doesn't need a whole lot to be effective when you have somebody like Christian Benteke up top. I want to see how Montreal's very aggressive, risk-taking pressure and numbers forward affects DC. Or does DC just find a way to play over the top of it, give Benteke opportunities, 1v1, 1v2, and he carries you? I think we'll have a better sense of these two teams after it. I like how Montreal plays, but I wonder if being on the road as long as they have been, if it starts to take a little bit of a toll here in this one.
NYC hosting the New England Revolution.
The Fighting Caleb Porters have not been very fighting this season. So it's not even whispers, I don't think. I think there's full-blown conversations being had about the Revolution in 2025. And that's really difficult because they changed so many players last season. You got to build chemistry and you got to figure out what you have. But when you had a bad season last year, you don't get the luxury of time to do that. I don't think this is going to help those conversations quiet down. It's at Yankee Stadium, New York City, building a little bit of momentum. I think the Pigeons get it done. And I think there's going to be a lot of conversations getting louder and louder about Caleb Porter's time in Foxborough.
Moving on to the only game that is at 8:15, it is Sporting Kansas City hosting Minnesota.
And there's a lot of conversations about Peter Vermes in Kansas City. And it's been a long time since they have looked like Sporting Kansas City used to look. They've had long losing streaks in each of the last 3 years. They're on a long losing streak now. Minnesota is, like I said in their result last week, I don't know how to rate them just yet in terms of overall level. But with what we've seen this year, they should go to Kansas City and win. And conversations, whispers, bullhorns, I think is where we're getting to with Peter Vermes and his time in Kansas City. And I think he's one of the all-time greats in this league. I think he's one of the all-time greats in U.S. soccer. I think for whatever reason, things have gotten away from him and the way that he wants his team to play. And it could be down to the talent on the field. There is bad luck. He's had a ton of injuries over the years that he's had to deal with. He hasn't been able to get the project, I think, where he would like it to be. But just like I said about Caleb Porter, when you've had a run of bad results for a while, you don't get the luxury of time to sort it out. And like Dejan Jovalich is a great addition for Kansas City. you don't get time to integrate him. You got to go find results now. Can he fix it starting this week? Yeah, I absolutely think he's capable. I don't know if he does, though. And Kansas City, New England, two of the OG franchises in the league, I think they're going to have conversations about two very successful MLS Cup winning managers and their long-term futures, because the starts of the season for both of them have been, it's been very poor. And I don't know when it turns.
Moving on, we have three games at the 8:30 p.m. slot. First up, it is FC Dallas hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Give Vancouver a little bit of a pass here if their hangover is a different feeling kind of hangover after what they did in Mexico. Probably listening to a lot of Shakira, because that's why that game got moved from Monterrey to Santos Laguna. A Shakira concert in Monterrey made the stadium unavailable. So probably Shakira greatest hits for Vancouver from last night, maybe all the way through to Saturday. Dallas, they blew a lead at home against a rival in Chicago. They're going to have every opportunity to bounce back here against probably a tired and somewhat depleted Whitecaps team. They should take care of business. If they don't, then the magnifying glass comes out on Dallas and their start to 2025.
A lot of games are being looked at through a...
It's where you get 4 weeks in, right? You know, you start to have a better sense of these teams and narratives start to develop, right or wrong. Fair or unfair, they start to develop. And this is why the general managers, the presidents, the CEOs, the sporting directors, it's why they get paid the big bucks, because they have to waft through narrative, emotion, feel, reasons. People will say excuses. I don't like to get into that, because there are absolute reasons for why some of these teams have not started well, or, you know, what's going on. And that's the job of the people who make those decisions. And you can't fault them for being careful. Yeah. It's 4 weeks in. Nobody should be thinking that their job is at risk today.
Yeah.
But if things don't turn for some of the people we're talking about, and Dallas, it's a new manager. I think Eric Quill will be good. But noise can be a factor. And the noise is going to start to ramp up each week we get into this season.
Up next, we got Houston hosting Salt Lake.
Yeah, this is one that I don't know what to expect out of this. Houston is a team that I feel like is missing a piece. Salt Lake is a team that moved on from a lot of pieces after a really good first half last year. And I don't think either one has quite gotten to where they want to get to. It's two guys who know each other really, really well, and Ben Olsen and Pablo Mastroeni. And I think they're not exactly mirror images of one another, but there's a lot of similarities between these two teams. It's one of those that I think will be a very tight game. I think it'll be a very entertaining game for the neutrals. It's one that I'll have my eye on in the 8:30 window for sure. Houston at home, that should give them advantage. I think the Dynamo find a way, but I think it'll be very tight.
Listen, you were not very happy with the Dynamo's a week or two ago.
Very disappointed in the Houston Dynamo against Inter Miami. Very, very disappointed.
Me and Jarrett Smith talked about that in last week's episode of MLS Six Pack.
Very disappointed in that one.
It's all right. It's all right. We breathe and we move on. We move on. New week. New week.
Yes.
We have St. Louis hosting the Seattle Sounders.
Sounders might have a hangover too, as we talked about from CONCACAF. It's a disappointing way to go out for them. They've got injuries now with Paul Areola, maybe others, but Areola could be done for the season. It's going to be hard for them to go to St. Louis and get something out of it. You're going to have to ask the kids to really have big performances. I think St. Louis will have some momentum. I'm expecting a St. Louis win.
Moving on, two games at 10:30 p.m., we have San Diego hosting Columbus Crew.
Really interesting one here, because I think there are some similarities in what Mikey Veris and Wilfred Nancy want to do, and maybe more importantly, about like kind of how they want to attack a little bit. Columbus is a team that is more about the collective. I think San Diego is a team that's more about the collective, although both teams have some outstanding talented players who can win games on their own. I think it's more about the idea of the way that they play. Columbus is one that I don't feel like will have that disappointing hangover aspect after CONCACAF, because look, if you're down 3-0 and you come back and you fight the way that they did and you get two goals in the first half and you make a series of it, there's a lot of positives to take out of that. I think there's more positives for them than for a Seattle and for a Cincinnati. So they'll be right back on who they are and what they do. And San Diego, now I think maybe the question for them, after we've seen them look so good in two wins on the road, can they do it at home? Because that's it's easier to win at home, but there's different pressure in playing at home. And when you're a new team and you're trying to please a fan base, and do the San Diego maybe get outside of that comfort zone and play a different way? I think Columbus on the road, been there, done that. They're not worried about it. I will be really anxious to see how San Diego handles the pressure of playing a top team at home in their building in front of their fans and how they handle it.
Last match of Saturday, 10:30. It is San Jose hosting the Colorado Rapids.
Colorado going to Austin, getting a win last week, really reinforced a little bit of how I feel about Chris Armas's team. I think they're very good. San Jose, we thought they were very good. We didn't think they were very good. Then we thought they were very good. Now we'll find out. Colorado is a better team, I think. I think they're a little bit more complete team. I think at home, that's going to give San Jose an edge. I feel like probably the draw is the safer play here out of this one. If Colorado can go and get another win on the road against another Western Conference team, and with the Paul Arriola injury in Seattle and Galaxy looking shaky to start things, LAFC has been LAFC. I feel like the power structure in the West is actually kind of interesting. And Colorado, if they win back-to-back on the road, they might be pushing their way into that top tier and into that power structure in the Western Conference. San Jose was, you know, edging at it, but then they got kicked back. Does Colorado knock that door over for a while? I think they might. I think they go and get a win.
I think Colorado is going to be a team to really watch out for this season. I have them very, very close top in the Western Conference, especially as it continues on. But continuing on with the schedule, we have three games on Sunday, March 16th, starting at 2:25. This one might adjust because it is also on Fox as well, but it is Philadelphia hosting Nashville.
Nashville has not been good. They found a team in the schedule last week that was worse in terms of being Portland. We'll talk about them in a second. Nashville, I didn't think was great in that game, but they beat Portland after having two penalties saved in the first 20 minutes, which is crazy. I do not expect them to go to Philadelphia and get anything out of that game. The Union have way surpassed expectations so far in 2025. Can they do it the whole season? Look, we're going to find out. Bradley Carnell had great success in St. Louis in year one, hit a ceiling. Is that going to happen with the Union? I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I think maybe he's got a little more to work with in Philadelphia, but can they play the way that they're playing for a long period of time? Jury's still out. Can they do it against Nashville this week in Chester? Yes. And the Union win.
Moving on, 4:45. Mentioned them already, but the Portland Timbers hosting LA Galaxy.
The Galaxy should have some momentum after scoring four. Do they? I don't know. Are they tired? Maybe. This isn't a super deep team at the moment with the injuries that they're battling. Portland has to feel a little bit backs against the wall. And, you know, we put the fighting Phil Nevilles into the same category as the fighting Caleb Porters and maybe the fighting Peter Vermises. I mean, you're talking about a manager in Phil Neville who I think has been unfairly treated in the way that his teams have been talked about. And this goes back to his time in Miami. I feel like there was a very negative perception of him when he walked in the door that was unfair. I think he did really well to get Miami into the playoffs when they didn't have any talent. I think he did as well as you could possibly do in the first half of the season when Messi joined in the summer and they were keeping every bit of allocation money they could find under a couch, like in a bag, not letting him use it to make that team be anything in the first half. And he had them competitive. I think he had Portland competitive last year until the wheels fell off. the wheels aren't back on the car right now. And he's going to have to find some lug nuts. I don't know if he's got any lug nuts. This is a team that, you know, you go out and you get DaCosta and you bring him in to replace Evander. Well, so far he's not Evander. Okay, you had issues at goalkeeper. I think Pantemis is going to be the guy. He should be the guy. Maxime Crépeau is not who he used to be. All right, maybe you lucked your way into an answer there, but Portland should be feeling a ton of pressure in this one. And the Galaxy, you know, maybe you're playing with house money if you don't get anything out of this game. Maybe they come in there a little fat and happy and just thrilled to be moving on in CONCACAF, and Portland can take advantage. I think Portland has to take advantage, or bullhorns are coming out in Oregon.
All righty. Drum roll, cue Thunderstruck by AC/DC, whatever you want to cue. Let's get ready, because 7 p.m., we have Atlanta United hosting Inter Miami. Miami is unbeaten in their last 11, including preseason. Thank you to Joe Freihoffer for doing this math and this research. Yep. Do you want to know who their last loss was?
Atlanta.
You guessed correct, because it's the rematch. Biggest MLS upset ever.
Yep, it's big, and I think it's going to have a big game feel on Sunday night. I think it's hard to really dig too deep into it after, you know, without seeing the CONCACAF Champions Cup game for Miami that we're recording this before that game. So, you know, make sure you watch Training Ground Dispatch tomorrow. We'll have more thoughts on Miami and what to expect. Miami's very good. And I think what jumped out to me as I was looking at Miami for Atlanta Soccer tonight this week, the player who's played the most minutes for them this season is Sergio Busquets. The player who's played the second most minutes is Luis Suarez. The player who's played the third most minutes is Jordi Alba. You know, Messi has not played that many minutes. But the other three guys, who are all legends in their own right, have been playing consistently in every game for Inter Miami across all competitions. Sunday will be their eighth competitive game of 2025. It'll be Atlanta's fourth. Minutes add up, and you hit a wall at some point. Is that here? Is that tonight in Jamaica? I don't know. I don't know yet. But this is a group in Miami that is better than they were last year in terms of talent on the roster, in terms of depth, in terms of age of contributors. I think this is everybody got a year older, but I think you added some key contributors that are younger in this group, and that's going to be really important for them going forward. I think this is a very, very good Miami team that can win without Lionel Messi. They did last year too, by the way. I think the question will be in this one, because last year, remember, you're in a playoff situation. Atlanta was a different team at that point in the way that they were playing games because of the talent that they had available. Rob Valentino had to make some decisions, and I think he sacrificed maybe the aesthetics for the functionality. That's not where Atlanta is now, and it's not where they should be. This is an Atlanta team now to start 2025 that is trying to establish an identity, trying to create an identity under Ronnie Dyla. And I think you heard from him after the match last week of what he wants to see from his team and what he's going to be looking for this week. He wants to see them be dynamic. He wants to see them switch the point of attack. He wants to see those fullbacks, and Brooks Lennon is expected to be part of this. He wants to see them get high up the field. He wants to see his Atlanta United put a ton of pressure on Inter Miami, not sit back and soak up pressure and break them on the counter. He wants Atlanta to take the game to the team that was the best in the regular season last year ever in MLS history, and the team that has started this year the best in all competitions. It's a big ask, and we're going to know a lot more about Atlanta United after these 90 minutes on Sunday. I don't know what we're going to see from Miami yet. You know, if they have to fight in Jamaica and scrape through that one, maybe they don't have the same feel. If they have an easy day, maybe you have guys that are very fresh for Sunday. I do think you're going to see some of those veterans who have played a ton of minutes hit a wall here very soon, and that could be on Saturday night, especially with the onslaught of the way that Ronnie Dyla wants his Atlanta United to play. When you're tired and you're older and you're at a breaking point, that could break you. We'll see if it does. The other thing, and this has been the missing element for Atlanta United in 2025, is that quality in the attacking half and specifically in the final third. And you could break them physically, but not be able to put them away. You have to put them away when you get your opportunities, especially against a team as good as Miami, who can find a goal out of nothing and ruin your day. I cannot even think about a prediction until we see Miami play Cavalier tonight. And I honestly can't even think about a prediction until we see the lineups on Sunday. Yeah. But I think it will be the spectacle that Major League Soccer and Apple TV wanted when they created Sunday Night Soccer. I think this is going to be the first real big game feel for that new kind of signature moment each week for Major League Soccer. I think this is going to be the one that we remember and look back at like, oh yeah, that was where it felt like a big deal.
Yeah, this game match on Sunday, it's going to be a ton of fun. Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7 p.m. It's going to start maybe a little bit after 7 p.m., but myself and Abe Gordon will have the pregame show on 92.9 The Game. That will start at 6 p.m., and then Mike Conti and Jason Longshore will take over at 7, get you ready for a 7:05, 7:10 kickoff?
I think it's more like 7:15, if I'm not mistaken.
7:15 then. Never mind. I lied.
I think. I don't know yet.
Around a little bit after 7 is when we are expected to kick off at the Bend. So it's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be insanity, and it's going to be crazy. But we'll have a lot more content leading up to this game, especially since there's still a lot we don't know about. Keep an eye out on SDH Network social medias. We'll have Training Ground Dispatch up tomorrow to recap everything we saw in training this week and get you ready for Sunday's match. Thank you so much to everyone listening on Off the Woodwork. Come check out everything we're doing on the SDH Network and as we get ready for Atlanta United versus Inter Miami. But once again, thank you guys so much for listening to MLS Six Pack this week, and we'll see you guys next Thursday.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.